Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals podcast. I am your host, Harley. Joining me today to talk about all things birdwatching is TV critic, avid blogger, and host of the TV Time podcast, Lucy Buglass. Lucy is taking a bit of a departure from her normal realm of television and movies to talk to me about something that's been very close to her since a young age, and that is, of course, birdwatching. Now, you may be thinking, is birdwatching really that interesting? I thought it was something that older people do. Well, Lucy shines a light on why that's not the case in this episode and gives us some wonderful insights and some great recommendations on some tools and places you can go to if you would like to know more yourself. So, without further ado, let's get straight into the episode. This is Birdwatching with Lucy Buglass. Hello, Lucy, and welcome to the Fundamentals podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to have a bit of a break from TV, so thank you very much for the opportunity to come on.
Absolutely, yeah. So as anyone, well, maybe who's been listening to you or doesn't know, you run a series on the podcast. What am I trying to say? You run a podcast, that's what I'm looking for, called TV Time, and you, of course, are a TV journalist, so yeah. You definitely have your fill of talking about television shows, which I think just as before we started recording, we're saying that's not a bad thing because there's a huge variety.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But at the same time, if it's your job, if it's your passion project and so many other things, I can imagine you want a break. So you're here today to talk to us about bird watching,
yes,
of all things, which I think is a lovely idea. And I'd love to know just straight away, how did you get into that?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I think what I will say is a little bit like train spotting. It's kind of considered like a bit of a boring hobby for like old people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I fully understand that.
Right.
So I did get into it through my family. My granddad used to take me on walks quite a lot, and we would sort of just sit and watch the birds. I grew up on the northeast coast. So there's a lot of like seabirds, so like, you know, kind of like gulls and that kind of thing, and oyster catchers and so on, and I used to just find it really peaceful, like just get, you know, kind of just observing what they're doing. Birds are quite they're just like a nice little sort of, it's very peaceful, you know. It's just because you're just in the moment, you haven't got any distractions, you're just watching them, and it's good for like when you're nervous or if you have anxiety, it's good to just watch them sort of do their thing. And yeah, so it was my granddad, really. I would just tag along with him, borrow some binoculars, and we would just watch the birds.
That's beautiful. I mean, I don't think it's funny you said that about train spotting, actually. It was one that came to my mind of like, yeah, it's not the first thing most people would think of when they go to develop a hobby. But then I think, what's wrong with that? And in the kind of crazy, chaotic world that we live in, a bit of peace is very welcome,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
It's funny you should say that as well about your granddad. My wife Abigail has a sort of similar story, because she used to do a bit of bird watching, and it was her granddad, same thing. She'd just take her out to the coast, and so there you go, something maybe granddads can do with their grandchildren if they like.
Yeah, definitely.
But obviously you've taken it on as an adult, so how does that kind of work for you now and where you live?
It is my kind of my sanctuary, my inner peace, because a lot of the things I do is quite chaotic. Like, I work in the media, and as you well know, it can get quite chaotic, and constant Twitter headlines and constant hashtags and lots of nonsense going on. And then you have, you know, like podcasts, and I play a lot of games, and it's a lot of like just high intensity, like, you know, kind of like, oh my God, like so much going on. So this kind of, it's just my way of going out and sort of sitting in the park, or when we could, you know, travel to places and have a look, and
yeah,
it just puts me in the moment, and it's very calming. And I get quite boring about birds. I'm very interested in like their habitats and their lifespans and that kind of thing. I just find them very fascinating, intelligent, inquisitive animals. And, you know, on a personal level, I would like to own birds in captivity one day. I just don't know how I'm going to do that. I think I'm very interested in having a parrot as a pet, but it's a lot of work. So for the time being, I get to observe them in the wild, yeah.
No, that's cool. I don't think that's necessarily a boring aspect. I was going to ask you, actually, when it comes to bird watching, yeah, do you sort of make a point to try and track certain animals? Because I know a lot of them are quite habitual. So obviously, they find a nest. And
yeah,
you can probably get a good shout, I'd imagine, say, like, you spot one, you go, oh, I'm really fascinated by this little guy. And you can just sort of guarantee you'll go back to the same spot and just sort of watch them. Is that an appeal for you, just sort of watching them go through little life cycles? Or?
Yeah, it's funny because I'll sometimes sit there and they have their own little personalities, like any animal does, really. You know, some of them might be a little bit more aggressive or a little bit more sort of confident, or some of them might just be trying to, like, you know, chase after the ladies. You know, that happens a lot in the bird kingdom. So depending on what they're interested in or what they want to achieve, they're very animated. And you're right, like, you know, in birds, you know, they kind of have seasons, and, you know, in the spring you have a lot of babies. It's very nice. We're coming up to that at the moment, so it's I just find them just lovely, and it's a free hobby, right? You just kind of go to a park or the beach and you can just watch and just let yourself go.
That's incredible. It almost sounds like sort of reality TV, but for animals.
It can be. Yeah. If I ever go with somebody else, we sometimes kind of have like little running commentaries about what they're doing, you know, make little jokes about like, have they got a turf war or something, you know, like just silly things. And it's just funny.
Yeah, why not? I mean, who doesn't love a good nature documentary, you know? And that's kind of the same thing, isn't it? We almost assign narratives to the animals and their little families, and you sort of,
exactly,
that's kind of the appeal of watching those, isn't it? Is they'll create little stories and you just sort of follow them along.
Yeah,
so I could totally see that. And like you said, if you can do it for free, yeah, you know, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
So do you make a point to perhaps like journal sort of the things like that? Do you sort of pick on certain areas or birds, you go, oh, do you know what? I'm really interested in this little fella, and you maybe write it down and just kind of, do you do anything like that?
At the moment, no. I have like a sort of bird book, which has like kind of each individual, you know, like kind of, it's basically an encyclopedia of like each one, and like, you know, kind of,
right,
this is how many geese are in the UK. It's mental. because often you can sort of, you know, you say, oh, that's a goose, but like, what kind of goose is it? You know, so maybe you might want to look at like its markings and stuff. I personally don't record. I just sort of see what I can find. And the spontaneity is quite nice of kind of what's going to be there when I get there.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally get that. I guess in a way it's, you know, not to link too heavily to Trainspotting, but who knows, that could be a future episode. But yeah, I guess the variety is something, isn't it? Like you said, you can find so much out there. So do you have a current sort of favourite spot at the moment then to go to?
Yeah, I'm in London, so it's quite difficult to kind of get out onto, like, you know, sort of the beach, and, for example. But there's a lot of like duck ponds and a lot of areas like that around here. Like, we have lovely parks in London. And St James's Park is my favourite place because the birds there are amazing. I don't know if you've been, but it's...
I think I have. I think I've walked through it. But no, yeah, go on. Tell me about it.
They have pelicans there. They're sort of like royal pelicans, like owned by the queen or something, I don't know, but they're protected little birds that sort of, they're quite intimidating things, pelicans, because
yeah,
got these massive like beaks, and you kind of, and they just sort of wander around and do whatever, and you can just chill with them. And they have all sorts of, they have like excuse me, they have like ducks and geese, and they have parrots. They have, I think it's sort of like a, maybe a Quaker parrot they have there, but for some reason they found a home in St James's Park. But anyway, it's a lovely little sanctuary. So when I'm able to kind of go out and about, not local, then I would definitely go there. And I think I miss the beach a lot because of, you know, lockdown, and not being at the beach has been kind of rubbish for me. Because seabirds especially are very fascinating.
Yeah, I'd love to know what your insights are on seabirds, because I've spent a lot of my childhood in Cornwall.
Yeah.
And obviously, so much variety. I mean, you get your garden variety seagulls, which I don't know, kind of scum of the sky, I think.
You don't count it.
No, they're the bane of everyone's existence. Yeah. But apart from them, I know there's a fair deal out there. So what did you sort of stumble across spending time out by the beach? What's your kind of favourite one to go for?
We used to have like black-headed gulls, which are kind of like a chiller version of a seagull.
Yeah.
They're a lot smaller. They have, the heads are actually brown, not black. I don't know why they're called black-headed gulls, but whatever.
Okay.
Or maybe it's the females that have brown heads, but anywho, they're a chiller seagull. You have oyster catchers, which when the tide goes out, there's like all the kind of mushy goodness, and they kind of like to get all the oysters and they kind of dig them up with their beaks. I used to love seeing those. There's all sorts, really. I'm probably kind of going to insult like some bird watchers when I say this, but I'm not very kind of rigid in the way I plan things. I tend to just go with the flow and see what's out there, you know. And if I have the opportunity to kind of go to like experience days and kind of hold birds and kind of, you know, fly them, I will also do that. I just like being around them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, totally. I don't think there's any wrong way to to experience that. Actually leads me to a question, because earlier you kind of hinted to your Twitter followers about this, which thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
But I noticed you had pictures of you with owls and a falconry. So yeah. Am I right in thinking that you obviously spend a lot of time in those kind of places as well?
Yeah, I love that. I've had the opportunity to do a couple of those now. The ones in my pictures, there was a peregrine falcon who was kind of terrifying, actually, because she's very fast. There was a great grey owl that at the sanctuary I went to was called Gandalf, which I thought was fantastic, because Gandalf the Grey.
That's incredible.
It's a brilliant name. And there was
Archie
the spotted owl, who was like a little kind of little guy. And yeah, you can pay to like hold them and fly them and feed them and that kind of thing. They're very gentle, and you wouldn't think they would be.
Yeah, heavy as well. Like, I've done falconry before, and like some of the owls and stuff, like you said, because they glide, they just look so light. Mm. But the moment they clonk down on your arm, you go, oh,
yeah, you
hit the floor.
Arm does move a bit,
yeah.
They're very silent as well, so they can kind of take you by surprise. I mean, they have to be, because they're, you know, like the birds of prey. So when they kind of land on you, you're like, oh, but it's a nice experience. It's And I love what the trainers do. You know, if I wasn't a journalist, I'd probably want to work in one of those sanctuaries. But being around birds all day would be amazing, to be honest.
Yeah, totally. I got to say, if I had to pick a favourite type, it would definitely be birds of prey. They're fascinating, and they come in such variety as well, which is amazing. But yeah, what you're saying there as well about falconry, because perhaps some people don't know, is I don't think they're like, you know, these sort of places like circuses or zoos, or, you know, anywhere that's maybe a bit problematic for animals. A lot of these tend to operate as sanctuaries, don't they? They tend to sort of rehabilitate animals, or, you know, sort of like peregrine falcon, for example, I think is endangered, isn't it, if I know correctly?
A lot of birds of prey are, yeah. And I think these sanctuaries are great, because what they do, that, you know, I have my own personal opinions on zoos and whatever, but I won't go into it. But when it comes to these sanctuaries, you know, they encourage them to be as natural as possible. Like, they'll fly them the amount of time they would fly in their natural habitat each day. You know, they're making sure that they're kind of, like, if you've ever seen falconry, they make them work for their food. You know, they don't just feed them, they kind of like just launch it and then they go after it, which is what they would do in the wild, because they need the stimulus, otherwise they'll go crazy. So it's nice having them. And, you know, like, if they didn't want to perform for, like, you know, crowds and do these things, they wouldn't. There's absolutely no way they would come back to the trainers if they weren't being looked after. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's something that struck me. I did one years and years ago. And yeah, that's pretty much what they said, because this one, I think it was a falcon, just took off. And, you know, and they called them back and stuff. But somebody asked, oh, how do you get them to come back? And they said, well, you've got to treat them right. You know, they said, yeah, like, there's no way we can actually physically keep them here. Like, if they want to get out and go, that's it, they're gone, and there's nothing we can do about it. So I thought, yeah, that takes a tremendous amount of trust on their part. Oh, dear me.
Yeah.
But no, I find that absolutely awesome. I mean, there's lots of other things you can do as well. So I'm curious, because where I live, I've got Slimbridge not too far from me. Have you been there?
No, I don't think I have.
No? Oh, okay, because that's basically like a big bird sanctuary, and they keep You probably love it. They keep all sorts there. It's got all sorts of different ducks and flamingos and just anything and everything you can think of.
It's nice.
It's lovely. Yeah, and you can just spend the day just wandering around. So do you have any kind of favourite places like that?
Yeah, there's I went to visit a friend in Gloucester. It's a bit of a hike for me these days, but it's, gosh, I think it's the International Centre for Birds of Prey. I think that's what it's called, because they're kind of one of the biggest ones in the UK. And they have a lot of, like, amazing, they have, like, things like vultures and stuff as well, which obviously are different because they're scavengers. But, you know, they're still very interesting. They just wait for the leftovers, really. They don't actually, don't go hunting themselves. But they can be quite intimidating, vultures. There was a place in Kent, not called, it's Willow's Birds of Prey Centre, which was good as well, which is where I took the photos that I put on Twitter. There's a lot in this country, you know, and I think, you know, we even have sort of places like Flamingoland, which is a theme park, but it has, you know, it's just nice that we're trying to sort of educate people around birds and conservation efforts and that kind of thing. It means a lot to me because a lot of them sadly are endangered, you know, and birds have been killed to extinction. Like, look at the dodo, you know, and hopefully that doesn't happen again. But, you know, I really admire the conservation efforts that everybody's doing.
Yeah. I think that's a big part, isn't it, of any kind of sanctuary that's worth its while is conservation. And you're right, it's quite a shame that it's kind of got to that stage.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess that's kind of, unfortunately, a running theme across the earth is we just go around and destroy stuff and then wonder why it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, as a sort of change of direction, I'm curious, do you have a favourite bird? That's a bit of a big question, but...
Because
we've been talking about a variety already, so I'm just wondering if any of them stand out.
I think if I'm going for UK-specific birds, the ones that would actually live in the UK, definitely the peregrine falcon.
I think
they're incredibly fascinating to observe, both in sanctuaries and in the wild, because, like I said, they're very fast. They're very on it. And yeah, their behaviours are quite interesting. It's like the kind of the way they have relationships with other falcons as well.
All right.
Yeah, they can be just very, very interesting to observe. And yeah, but I also like parrots as well. We don't really have parrots native to the UK, but
no.
Should I be able to travel ever again in my life, I would love to go to places like Australia and kind of see things like cockatoos in the wild.
I went to Sydney a few years ago and they're just out and about.
Yeah, literally, they're just chilling.
Yeah, which really took me by surprise, just walking down a street one day and there's just cockatoos everywhere. And I was like, is someone like, they've broken out of a zoo or something? Like, and it's like, no, they're just here. They're just what they do. And they're just chilling on a street corner. It's like, huh. Okay, then.
That's the thing, like, in the UK, like, we were so used to them in captivity, if anything. But, you know, like, maybe they're owned privately, or maybe they're in a zoo or something. But just to see one just chilling on the street would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
It takes you back. It really does. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, parrots, to be fair, they're quite intelligent, aren't they? I don't know if you've ever seen them on sort of, like, in a show or something. I know it's, again, not the best environment, but have you seen what they can do?
Yeah, I did go to a zoo in Tenerife, of all places, with my family, and it was like a sort of bird park. And I'm older, I'm not entirely sure what I think about it, but at the time, you know, they were doing tricks and they were like, they could ride bikes and like little, they're very interesting, like they can solve puzzles. It kind of makes you feel like you would be outsmarted by a bird, you know, when you kind of look at what they can accomplish. And they're big problem solvers. They need that stimulation, otherwise they get bored very, very easily. That's why they're such a difficult pet, because you'd have to play with them like all the time.
Yeah. Well, then again, it could be quite a fun addition to your podcast. You never know. You could have a parrot pop in and yell a phrase or something it's learned.
Yeah, I would love to have a bird that was verbal and could mimic me. I think that would be very interesting. Though I should probably stop swearing so much.
I was going to say, you have to be careful what it comes out with. Yeah. But no, I think that's really cool. I mean, that's another aspect, I guess, is the intelligence. And I guess that plays into what makes bird watching so enjoyable. Am I right there?
Yeah, 100%. They're There are some animals in the animal kingdom, bless them, that are a little bit dull and don't really do a lot, you know, and they just sort of lounge about, and that's fine. But birds, more, it's silly because, yes, they're intelligent, but they can also be very funny in terms of like their strange behavior, like the kind of like the way they kind of like, you know, they'll build nests or they'll dance or whatever. And it's just, it's interesting because it's kind of, it looks so strange to us as an observer, but knowing that it's basically what they do every year, and you know they make their nest, they attract mates, all that stuff, it's interesting, right? Well, to me it is. Because it's like a routine, it's like ingrained in them in the same way we would set an alarm and get up and go to work, but that's what they do.
So do you find there's something really kind of therapeutic, because you mentioned towards the start of the conversation you find it helps with sort of reducing anxiety in that? So I'm just curious, I want to almost tap into that a little bit. What do you think specifically makes you feel that way when you're watching birds?
I think, yeah, it's a really good question. I think it's because it's so natural, and, you know, we are in such a technological world now, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but too much stimulus to, you know, bad news and video games and blue light can mess with your head a little bit. So it's honestly nice to just sort of put all distractions away and just watch like the real world. I sound like a bit of a boomer there, but you know, and just watch what's in front of you, right? Because like we said earlier, it can't be entertainment. Like if they do something funny, or like they might make a funny noise, or just, or do a dance, or whatever it is, you're kind of like, oh, that's cool. You know, it's, I don't know, it's something to focus on that's very positive. It's not offensive. It's not, you know, it's not going to upset anybody. It's just birds being birds.
Yeah.
To me, it's just connecting with nature, really, more than anything.
Right. No, I think you're right. There's definitely something on to that. I mean, even, like, funny enough, just before we recorded today, we went out for a little hike because we've got a little dog, and it's kind of helped us to get out a bit more. And there's something about what you said just a second ago, I think, spot on, is putting away the distractions and all the stuff that kind of, this is going to sound really philosophical and weird, but I just think there's so much of life that we live that isn't real. Like you said, this, like, as much as you can get into social media and all that stuff, and I love it, but at the same time, none of it matters in the grand scheme of things. And I'm guessing then, since sort of lockdown and all of that, have you had a bit more time perhaps then to kind of make a point to step outside and sort of engage in this hobby a bit more and kind of keep yourself grounded during what has probably been the most stressful event of all of our lives?
The sad thing is, like, no, really, because I've been working from home a lot, so I've basically been glued to my desk.
Oh, right.
And I go out at the weekends, but during the week, like, my working week just flies by. And I mean, now that, you know, we've had our daylight savings times, and, you know, the weather will be a bit nicer and it'll be sunnier, I'll probably go out more. But definitely, you know, between like December and like the end of March, it's been very dark very quickly. You can't really do a lot after work. And yeah, I miss the traveling aspect of it. You know, I would get the train down to, like, you know, like Brighton or something like that, and, you know, but can't anymore. And that's kind of sad to me. So I'm trying to make the most of sort of local areas. And, you know, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. It's just, you know, I think everyone's being quite cautious in the current climate. But, you know, I can even watch things from my, we have a garden, we're lucky to have a garden, so I can do that. We've had like robins and things recently, which is, I don't know why they're out so late, but, you know, it's like, you should have been there at Christmas. I don't know why you're here in March, but it's a tricky one with lockdown. I think it's impacted all of us in all of our hobbies, even the ones on the screen. Like, sometimes video games you just don't want to play because you're stressed out about whatever, you know. So, but I think we're just doing what we can, aren't we?
No, absolutely. I was just thinking, maybe a dongle or something, you could take your laptop and just as an excuse to go and sit somewhere else.
I'm tempted.
It could work. Mm-hmm. My friend bought one when we were in Australia, and it did help us kind of be a bit more mobile.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, though, coming back to it, I guess observing nature as a whole and something like birds could perhaps be a good way of keeping us grounded, maybe. Gives us a bit of perspective sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I think if anybody out there is familiar with like grounding techniques, it's all about, you know, five things you can hear and see and all that stuff. So with birds, they make a lot of noise. You can see,
yeah,
you know, it's a very kind of stimulating experience. And you kind of have to focus as well. You can't, you know, if you really want to get the most out of it, you kind of have to just watch them. And yeah, sometimes, I'm not going to lie, sometimes they don't do anything of interest, really. You know, sometimes I'll just sit there and you're kind of like, oh, okay. But sometimes it's fun. You know, it just depends on the day. But I just find being around them in general very, very soothing. It's always been the case for me, really.
Nice. I wonder if it's about something as well, it maybe takes you back to a simpler time or...
Probably, yeah.
Sorry, I'm doing therapy on you now, but...
Yeah, this is...
Tell me about your childhood.
Therapy.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, my family have owned birds in the past, and like, you know, things like, you know, budgies, you know, they're very, very friendly, lovable little pets. And it's been really fun to, like, play with them and learn about them. And then, obviously, being so lucky to grow up on the Northeast Coast, we have such a massive coastline and there's so much to see. And we have zoos and sanctuaries and so on. So I just think it's important for us to really enjoy nature while we can, because like you say, sadly, there's a lot of climate issues at the moment. So,
yeah,
you know, we should kind of enjoy the kind of world that we do live in.
Absolutely. And just remember, you know, I guess seeing that they occupy the same space is, I think quite important as well. It's like coming back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, giving us perspective. And I think you can also take it in the other direction. And it reminds you that there's a bigger, wider world out there. And,
yeah,
you know, a lot of these creatures have been here long before us, you know, and they need it just as much as we do.
Yeah.
And sometimes I guess just seeing them with their little families and bombing about doing their thing, it just kind of makes you, I don't know, for me personally, I guess if I observe or see nature like that, makes me think, you know, it reminds me to keep things simple,
yeah,
and not to get too bogged down in the kind of fakeness, I guess, of a lot of modern life, which again, sounding like a boomer, like you said earlier. But it is true. It is true. It's good to put the screen down every now and then and just go outside. And yeah. But actually, I wanted to ask you about something as well, with songs, because birds have obviously an amazing range. That's one thing that's instantly recognizable, isn't it?
Yeah,
you can sit in a garden and see or just hear them sing.
Mm.
So am I right in thinking that's another aspect of it then? Is something that's quite soothing. It's just hearing them chirp away and sing to each other.
Yeah, it's nice. And I know a lot of people find it quite obnoxious, like especially if it's like 4 a.m. you're trying to sleep and all you can hear is them, you know, kind of having a little chat. But it's nice because it kind of fills the silence and it's just sort of like natural outside noise. You know, it's not like cars or the train or even people, it's just the natural world.
Yeah.
Especially if you're lucky enough to go to a more secluded area than where there's not a lot of people or whatever, you can really hear it. I'm not the best, I must admit, at kind of identifying bird song. It's something I am working on. And I'm not afraid to admit that, but it's just lovely to sort of kind of close your eyes and just listen. Yeah, and it's grounding. You know, it's just, because I wouldn't really consider myself like a nature type. You know, I'm not going to lie, I love technology. I love, you know, I'm on Twitter all the time. I love it. But sometimes you just need to get out there and just have something to just sort of, you know, like I say, an inoffensive, lovely experience, really.
Mm, absolutely. So slightly bring technology into it. I was listening to, are you familiar with Adam Buxton's podcast?
Yeah, he's great. Comedian. I like him.
He's great, isn't he? But yeah, he was, because he always has his intros outside, which I think is very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last one I listened to the other day, he was using a bird app, which sort of picks up songs, and it seemed to be quite accurate. I thought that's a nice idea, just to sort of keep in your pocket. And if you hear something and you go, I wonder what that is, you just tap it and sort of just wait and listen. He said it was like Shazam, but for birds.
I was
thinking about it. I was like, that would be quite cool, actually, because then maybe you can just sort of build up a little list of, I don't know if it saves them, but that could be quite nice then. And you could sort of know where you're wandering around. You go, oh, I heard a falcon here the other day, or I, you know, heard a robin here the other day.
Mm. I wanted to have to download that then, because like the thing is, technology can be very useful in kind of, you know, enhancing our hobbies.
With
Shazam, like if you're big on the music and you're, you know, you're in a shop or a pub or something and you hear a song, you'll be like, oh my god, what is that?
Yeah.
Genius how they can do it.
Oh, that's awesome. And I totally agree. I think it's worth having that, you know, having that experience anyway, just to hear birdsong. It's like, it's kind of the thing in comedies, isn't it? When almost like the peace settles, someone throws in a little birdsong or something just to kind of signify peace and tranquility.
Yes, exactly. And yeah. You have some kind of like classical music in the background as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you think, well, there's a reason why, because as you said, it's naturally soothing. It's quite a chilled experience.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering then, where would you recommend somebody go if they wanted to just to start? If they're listening to this, they might think, do you know what, that sounds, mm-hmm. I could use a break from all the noise of modern life.
Yeah.
Where would you recommend they go?
The best place to start is the RSPB website. So the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, they have so much stuff on there. Obviously, a big part of their charity is to look after birds. And you can actually download sort of bird watching packs on there to get you started. And they're all free, like all free resources and stuff. There was an advert campaign on the TV a few months ago. It was like the big garden bird watch or something, which a lot of people took part in. And yeah, so they're great. And you can also get like books on Amazon. I've got one called like the Big Book of British Birds or something. and it's basically just an A to Z guide of all the birds you can find in the UK, you know, like the different, like I say, like for example, like you see a goose and you're like, ooh, not quite sure what goose that is. You can flick through it and find out. I'm sure there's an app that could also do that for you these days.
Maybe,
I'm not familiar. I'm a bit old, more old school in that sense. Also, get a good pair of binoculars as well. Again, you can try and find those online.
I was going to say, I would have thought that would be key, yeah.
I would say don't be scared to splash out if you're like genuinely interested in it, because you want a good quality pair of binoculars so you can get a good kind of range rather than just a cheap pair you found. Like, I mean, a cheap pair could be fine, but if you're genuinely want to get the best experience, then kind of save up and get something nice.
Any recommendations?
So the binoculars I have, they're the Olympus V501023BU000. Catchy title. And they're currently £75 on Amazon. They've actually been reduced down from 100, so that's pretty decent. But I can send you the link to that. It's just a bunch of fancy letters and numbers, really, but it does the job. And I think Olympus kit is very good, so I would definitely recommend that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a brand I have heard of. I think they do cameras as well, I'm pretty sure.
I believe they do, yeah, yeah. Mm.
Actually, that reminds me, that's probably another part, right? Is perhaps documenting birds? Is that something you ever thought about doing? Maybe getting a fancy camera and taking some snaps?
Definitely. It's just, I mean, binoculars obviously are quite pricey, but then cameras are even pricier. So it's literally just a case of me saving up for a good bit of kit, really. But in the future, I would love to do that, yeah. It's definitely on my radar.
Yeah, because I can imagine that would be super rewarding, especially if, again, as you said, pandemic and all the rest of this permitting, one day we'd be able to travel. You could perhaps go to areas. I think even, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it even as places like Scotland and sort of the mountains, they've been known to spot eagles and things like that and amazing all sorts of animals. So you could probably take something up there, plonk your camera down and just wait and see what you can find. That could be really cool.
My absolute dream location, like if we could travel, is Bowler's Beach, which just has loads of penguins in it.
Really?
In South Africa, yeah. And you can just wander freely on this beach with loads of penguins.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Why penguins? I'm kind of curious now.
Because penguins are great.
You said that with disgust. Like, how dare you?
Penguins are just wonderful, wonderful creatures. They are so funny, little goofy little things. It's funny because when they're on land, they're very, very clumsy, kind of obnoxious little sort of birds that waddle around. In the water, they're very, very good. So they're actually built for swimming rather than waddling around, really. And most people are familiar with, you know, like the emperor penguins, which are in Antarctica, which I doubt I'll ever be able to go to. Too cold. But they kind of fall over all the time. And it's kind of like, oh, God. Which is funny because you think animals should have evolved to be useful in their environment, but penguins just sort of are naturally goofy. They're just lovable little things, so they really are.
Yeah, I guess it's probably comes down to how they are. Like you said, with the sort of the small feet, but like a massive body. But it's great for swimming. It makes them very, you know, aerodynamic in the water. But on land, yeah, they're just like cylinders, really.
Yeah, pretty much. They just kind of slide around everywhere. And they're very sweet because I believe most penguins I mean, I'm not a penguin expert, but I think most of them mate for life. So they'll have like their family until they die, which is quite sweet.
Yeah, and that's another one where there's a fair bit of variety. So just I'm going to have a little quick Google because I need to see for myself. What were the breed, the type, I should say, that you were just describing there in South Africa?
Oh, if you Google Baldur's Beach, because they're one of the smaller penguins.
Mm.
I can't remember what they are now.
Baldur's Beach, because I have heard of this. It's not far from Cape Town, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Are they Adelie penguins? I can't remember. Might be.
Penguins. Oh my goodness, look at these little
guys. I know, right?
Oh, they're adorable. I totally get it now. I'm just looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the type that you get. People might have seen them in, again, not a huge fan, but you may have seen them in zoos.
Yeah.
Because they're very common. Mm-hmm. And they can kind of survive in any places, can't they? Because I mean obviously they live in South Africa, which can be very warm. Yeah, what are they called?
Does it say on that page what they are called? Because I've completely forgotten now.
Good old Wikipedia will tell me. Oh, it just says African penguins?
They may just be African penguins. That might just be their breed.
Apparently. It's according to Wikipedia, it just says African penguin.
Well, they're African penguins.
I can totally see why. They're adorable looking little things.
Mm-hmm. It's such an Instagrammable like place. Like I've seen so many influencers go there, and I'm like, I want to go.
Well, you never know. Maybe one day. Mm-hmm. The agency is completely off the cards.
Yeah, it's definitely a bucket list location for me. That one.
That's probably another thing as well that is an appeal to bird watching. Is you can take it anywhere you want in the world. We've already mentioned Australia, South Africa. Pretty much anywhere you go, you're going to see a variety, aren't you?
Yeah, and it'll differ everywhere you go as well, depending on whether you're more rural or whether you're in the city, you'll see all sorts of different things. And it's just like, it's kind of part of the traveling experience. Like many people are passionate about traveling. It's a cool thing to kind of incorporate into your your itinerary. Right, we're going to go to this sanctuary, or we're going to go to this this place where I want to. There's a place in Cuba, which basically just has loads of wild birds, which I would love to go to. But I've never been to Cuba in my life. I know nothing about it. I'm just aware of the sanctuary. And it would be a lovely the weather would be nice, hopefully. So that would be, nicer than here.
Yeah, I'd certainly hope so. I mean, if you went all the way out there, just to try and avoid hurricane season or something.
Yeah, just avoid hurricanes, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, is there anywhere else that you've perhaps you've kept your eye on? You've mentioned a few already.
Oh, there's just so many, and I think I'm still doing my research, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I'm familiar with obviously UK locations, but I've never actually been outside of Europe in my life. Like I've never gone like America or Asia. I would love to go pretty much everywhere, but I assume I would do my research if I was planning a trip, go there anyway, because I'm not sure I would travel just for the birds, to be honest. I think have to have an interest in the place as well, and the birds are kind of like a happy coincidence. I would definitely just like to travel the world and see as many wild birds as I could, really. That's kind of if I could just quit my job and do that, I would. Just be in nature all the time.
Yeah, someone out there's listening and they want to sponsor you to do that, why not?
Yeah, well, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Stranger things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a noble endeavour as well. But yeah, I mean, I guess for people here, there's plenty of places for them to go and check out, right?
Mm.
I mean, I've mentioned Slimbridge already. Is there anywhere you recommend?
I'm trying to think now off the top of my head, because I've mentioned Gloucester and I've mentioned the Knockholt place, but
yeah,
honestly, regardless of where you are in the country, you could probably Google kind of, wildlife sanctuary or birds of prey, and there probably will be one like local to you. Because, people are getting much better at kind of bringing that to kind of like the local people now. I think it used to be quite an exclusive thing, but now they're pretty much all over the country.
Yeah,
I haven't really seen much of the country beyond like the Northeast and like London where I live now, to be honest. So I'm sure that there's places all over the place that you could go to. And I'm kind of looking forward to finding out. I'm just trying not to get too ahead of myself with lockdown and all that, but one day I'll do it.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. And I guess, as you said earlier, really, if you want to start anywhere, you could always try your local parks, your local, I don't know, country, wherever you are, just go out and start looking and listening, I guess.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, you know, if you have a forest nearby or like a country park or just a local park, like a pond or something, there's definitely going to be something there. And that's free. You know, you don't have to pay for that. The sanctuaries you would, but, you know, if you would rather just sit in the park and do it for free, then you could. And it's a good lockdown hobby, I'm not going to lie. Well, you know, if people, you know, have got more of an opportunity to go outside, or, you know, they're struggling to be motivated to go outside because I get it, you know, there's not much you can do, then you could consider doing this, I would say.
Absolutely. Mm. And as you said earlier, it seems to come with some great therapeutic kind of effects as well, which I think, again, you can't ask for more, really. I think that's so important, especially at the time we're living in. I think everyone needs something where you can go outside and ground yourself, as you said.
Yeah, I know some people are scared of birds or specific birds, and I do get that because they can be quite intimidating. Like geese and swans, especially
oh, yeah.
in the UK, can be very aggressive. So I can understand people's apprehension, but provided you keep your distance and you're not like getting in their way, you should be fine. You know, birds genuinely don't seek you out to just like mess with you. They're either protecting their young or you've annoyed them in some capacity.
Yeah.
So as long as you're respectful, then, you know, it's about education. I think with any fear, you know, I'm personally really scared of spiders. So I'm trying to teach myself about spiders so I can, you know, get over that. I held a tarantula actually a year ago.
Oh, fair play.
For like 5 seconds and then gave it back.
Do you know, you've done better than me. When I was about, I must have been like 11 years old, I bugged my parents at this park all day. So I was like, I should do it. I should hold a spider. And then as soon as they brought that thing out, I bolted to the other side of the room. So
horrible.
So you've done better. That's incredible. I don't know if I could hold one for 5 seconds, in all honesty.
Yeah, I was fine until it started trying to crawl up me. And then I was like, no.
Yeah. Although I did that with a snake once. I let a python sit on me and it was like, it was fine until it turned its head and started looking in my direction. I was like, take it off now.
Yeah, I think animal based fears are completely natural. And I would say if you are scared of birds, then maybe this isn't for you. But if you are interested, just be respectful of their natural environment and, you know, don't annoy them. Don't throw things at them.
Yeah, but in all sincerity, what you've said is spot on. And to educate yourself and just to see them in another environment is absolutely worth doing, and don't watch Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. That's probably
don't do that.
Yeah.
Gosh, if that ever happened, that would kind of ruin this hobby for me, I think.
I was going to say, I take it you've never given it a go.
I have actually.
Oh no,
I've seen the film. I do quite like it because I am a bit of a horror buff. So
okay.
it's fiction though, and because I'm not inherently scared of birds, so perhaps it just didn't really have that effect on me.
No, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, I know people that aren't scared of arachnophobia, for example, the film, whereas I am. I cannot watch that film.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I found that more funny than anything, just because it's terrifying.
It's just the legs and, I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, hey, maybe next time I speak to you, that you'll be a little bit further along. It'll be 7 seconds with a tarantula.
Yeah, but next time I'm on, I'll be talking about my new passion is tarantulas.
Yeah.
Where did this come from? Yeah. I doubt that.
Yeah. No. Birds are nicer, I think. We'll stick to birds. That's really cool. So, I mean, you mentioned earlier, I'd love to know, like, what would be, in an ideal world, what would be, like, your dream bird to own? Or say, I say to own, to sort of look after.
Yeah. So I think if I could have, like, you know, I need a lot of space, but I would love like an umbrella cockatoo. They're the traditional ones you see with the big crest and, you know, the white ones. They're huge and they can live up to the age of 60. So they're a huge commitment. You need a lot of space for them, a lot of toys. They're basically glorified toddler, I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of like TikToks of cockatoos and, you know, people have bought them like toys and they're just quite literally throwing their toys out the pram because they have tantrums like children do.
Yeah.
So it's basically like having a child. But aside from the umbrella cockatoo, I'd probably say the African grey parrot, because of just how intelligent it is. Every African grey parrot that's been in the media, their ability to mimic is second to none. They can pretty much say anything and mimic anything. Yeah, it's like having a conversation with someone. Like, they're so smart.
That's incredible. But I guess you're right. It just takes perhaps a bit of the right environment and the right resources. And I'm glad you have that outlook, because I know that's perhaps why quite a few of them sadly end up in sanctuaries or places, because people buy them, think it'll be fun, and a month later they're like, oh, this is actually, this is a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely, obviously, you know, no shade to anybody who owns like a cat or a dog, they're a very valuable pet, but they're a lot easier because they're, shorter lifespan, they require a lot less attention most of the time. Obviously, any pet is a commitment, but a bird, especially a big tropical bird, they're going to get annoying sometimes. You just have to deal with that. So, and they're going to make a lot of noise. That's the thing. So, yeah, you have to do your research with these things. And obviously, I'm nowhere near ready yet to have one. Maybe, like I keep joking to my friends, I'd have to put it in my will if I got one, because, you know what I mean? It would be like an
apple. Yeah.
So if I had children, I'd be like, you've inherited my cockatoo. There you go.
Yeah. P.S. He's got another 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. So your children will probably get it.
Yeah, I like that. It's something that just keeps being passed down. 4 generations in, it's like, it's still not dead. It's still going.
It has happened. It's like parrots and I believe tortoises have a very long life as well. So
yeah,
there's been tortoises in people's wills too. Which is quite
That's
funny.
Amazing. Wow. Wow, yeah, you just blown my mind with that. Yeah, I'd never considered that before, but wow, that's a lot. That's a huge thing to consider. Yeah, if anyone's listening, you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Listen to Lucy's wisdom here. Like, you need to hold back. Are you prepared to put it in your will? That's a good question to ask.
Yeah, exactly. how much value do you place on this thing? I think cockatoos, I believe, in captivity, they're between 40 and 60 years, so 60 would be the high point. But it could happen, right? Like you have to look at the end, like sort of bit of a lifespan as much as you look at the beginning. Because
absolutely,
if you get on your deathbed and you've got this bird, you're like, well, now what? So it's crazy, though. It's really crazy.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. That's so worth thinking about. I mean, even cats and dogs can live 15, 20 years. That's a big commitment, but that's almost like triple, just straight away.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So maybe just stick to watching them for now.
Definitely. I'd need to have a lot of space and a lot of time. So maybe it's a one for when I'm a little bit older.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, you hear about sort of crazy cat ladies. You could just be a crazy parrot lady. And
I really want to be a crazy parrot lady, yeah. I'd love that.
Worst things to be, I think.
I'd say so.
Absolutely. Well, I'm curious, Lucy, is there anything else you kind of wanted to touch upon with this topic? I mean, we've kind of dived all over the place with it, but that's what I love about these kind of conversations.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is, for me, I'm really trying to advocate that it's not just a boring going out with binoculars kind of, you know, in your anorak kind of thing. It's not about that. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do it, really. And I don't like sort of snobbery in hobbies. So if anybody was to tell you, oh, you're not looking at the birds properly, it's like, I'm just looking at birds. You know, like, it's, you have to enjoy the experience. If you get something from it,
yeah.
You know, if you just want to sit with some seed and feed some ducks and you get something out of that, then there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to travel around the world with binoculars, do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think you have to just really, really enjoy this hobby and get something out of it and not force it. And not listen to snobby people, because they are out there, sadly, in any division. And, you know, I just think if you can find a group, maybe you could join, that would be awesome. But there's value in doing it on your own or with friends even. I've, you know, kind of in, you know, kind of got friends into it. Sort of when they're out with me, I'm like, look, you know, it's my natural thing at this point. So, yeah, I just think it's a very chill, like I keep saying, very inoffensive hobby. You kind of can't, you know, it's not like, you can't really have arguments about birds, really. Like, you could argue about, I don't know, like video games. You can't really do that with birds. Unless there's one you really hate. which I get.
Yeah.
Like geese. Like, I understand the hatred for geese, but I like them.
That's true. My mind is almost going off and thinking, like, I can imagine a conversation between two people arguing over, like, what's the best type of duck or something ridiculous like that. And just,
yeah.
Oh, I'd almost love to sit in on that conversation, though. Just,
I don't care about it that much.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you, Lucy. I've said from day one on this show that, like, yeah, snobbery and gatekeeping doesn't have a place here. Mm. And yeah, it doesn't make any sense, especially in something that's perhaps as, dare I say, niche. I mean, I feel like this has broad appeal because anyone can do it, but also, as you said at the start, really, not everyone gets into it, which is, you know, fair enough.
Mm.
But yeah, I just love that idea of taking that and being really precious about it. That's kind of amusing to me, actually, that someone would get that way. Mm-hmm. Those aren't the right binoculars to be looking at this. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see it fine. It's all good.
It's like, you don't own the birds, like, you know.
No,
come on, man.
No. Yeah, that's the whole point, is just to go out and, as we said earlier, just embrace nature and kind of strip away all the noise of the world.
Yeah,
you don't need to bring it into it. So no, I think that's a lovely message to give to people, and absolutely encourage anyone who's listening to go and check it out. I'll be sure to put some links in here for, you know, the binoculars for the is it the RS? You have to help me out here.
RSPB. I can send you all the links. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Oh, but no, anyway, yes. I'm the same.
Yeah, I know it was one of them, but there's so many. But I will absolutely link to the right charities, the right organisations.
Mm.
You've got me thinking, because I don't mind saying I actually live in Gloucester, mm-hmm. so I'm pretty sure I've seen that falconry place before. I'm gonna have to go and check it out now.
Oh yeah, I didn't know you lived in Gloucester. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I said, because Slimbridge is not too far from us here.
Yeah.
Which probably we'll visit once it reopens. But yeah, it just seems like a nice thing to do. You know, like you said, it's free, it's inoffensive, it's just kind of calming. I can totally see the appeal. Just observing nature in general.
Yeah, definitely. I can't remember exactly where the place I referenced was. If it is in Slimbridge, I'm going to feel like such an idiot now.
No, it's not. It's further north.
Okay.
It's further north in Gloucester. But yeah, I think I might have even driven past it today. But
yeah,
I'll definitely go and check it out.
Yeah, I would really recommend it. I think they've got a lot of amazing birds there. They have one that I forgot the name of, but it's on my Instagram stories because I highlighted it. And it was this big, really big, fluffy thing, but I didn't know what it was. And there wasn't a sign, so I was like, what are you?
Ooh.
And yeah, it's they've got loads of cool things that I just I could spend all day there, really.
Yeah, why not? It'd be a good day trip.
I like Gloucester when I visited.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'll say that, it's fine. It's all right place to live. But no, I think that's some lovely recommendations there. I guess, yeah, is there anything else you wanted to add, or anything else you wanted to sort of plug for people?
I think that's it, really. But like I say, just don't take it too seriously, really. Like, I would advocate for any hobby. That's my main message here, I'd say.
Absolutely. Go in with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, even if you, like you said, you start somewhere like at a park bench, whatever, wherever you start, just, yeah, I think that's a lovely place to begin.
Exactly.
So I guess, really, to just kind of wrap things up, Lucy, where can the good people find you and all of your work at the moment?
Yeah, so my main Twitter is at LGTHblog. I always get that wrong. And my podcast handle is at TV Time, and it's spelt like TEAV Time Pod, where you can listen to TV chat if you're into that kind of thing, because I certainly am. And if anybody wants to come on the show, I'm more than happy to consider that. So always looking for new guests.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'd say it's a lovely show. It's well worth checking out. But yeah, I will put links to all of that in the show notes for you.
Thank you.
That's all right. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And there we have it. Thank you so much to Lucy for coming on to the show and talking to me about all things bird watching. Again, I've put links in the show notes to all the things that we've discussed. So if you'd like to go and find out more for yourself, it's all there for you. And of course, if you want to hear more from Lucy herself, definitely go and check out TV Time, the podcast. I've put a link in the show notes to that, as well as her blog, lucygoestohollywood.com, and various other written features. You can find all of that on her social medias. It's all linked in the show notes for you. In podcasting news, I was able to join previous guests Joshua Glenn and Andrew Godian on their show, Ramblin', an Amblin' Podcast. As I said in that episode with Josh recently, I was going to come on, and I was. It all went down pretty nicely. That is available on their feed. I highly recommend you go and check that out. The film in question that we talked about was Back to the Future. It was a ton of fun, and again, I just highly recommend you go and check out their show and that episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, then by all means, let me know. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Both handles are at FundamentalsPod. I'd love to hear from you. If you're feeling particularly generous and you want to leave me a lovely 5-star review on your chosen app of choice, who am I to stop you? By all means, let me know, though, because you will, of course, earn a shout-out on the podcast. That is all from me. I will be back again in a few weeks' time with a completely different guest on a completely different subject. So until then, stay tuned, stay safe.